Let's pray. Lord, that is an amazing mystery, that your love, your grace can come to sinners, can come to me. God, I pray as we gather here to celebrate the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, to remember the body and the blood of Christ, Jesus, that you would draw us near to yourself. Father, that you would draw us near to your Son. And please give me strength as I share your word. Jesus, it is in your name I pray. Amen. This past week, I had the blessed opportunity to sit with a dying man, my grandfather. I asked him a question. I asked him, "Do you have confidence that you know where you are going when you die?" And he said, "No." As long as there is still breath in the lungs, God's compassion is on them. As long as there is still breath in the lungs, there is still an opportunity for God to change a heart, for that person to repent, for that person to be saved. My grandfather died yesterday morning. Spiritual realities quickly come into focus when one is near death. When one is faced with death, they're just naturally thinking about what's next. That person could have no confidence. They could have a false confidence. Or they could have a legitimate, biblically informed confidence of what is going to happen next. So I want to ask you guys a question. Are you confident that you know where you are going to go when you die? A believer, one who has repented and believed in the gospel, one who has turned from their sins and turned to follow Christ, that person can and should have confidence that they know where they are going when they die. Let's remember together where a believer's confidence comes from, where that can be found, and in whom that confidence is found. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. The men will soon come forward and they will pass out a little cup of juice and a little cracker. And we're going to remember Christ's body and blood that was given, Christ's body and his blood that was shed at the cross. Please follow along as I read Romans chapter 5, verse 9. "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." The Apostle Paul, for the previous 4-plus chapters here in the book of Romans, is laying out the gospel. He's been explaining how man has rebelled against the Creator. He's been explaining how no one has truly obeyed. No one truly seeks after God. Not even one. He has explained how Christ came and died, and that his death fully satisfied the wrath of God for all those that would trust and believe in him. Our verse is describing one of the results of justification, namely that we believers shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. However, this result is a present reality that is based on a past event. The first part of verse 9, having now been justified by his blood. Believers are justified. We need to understand a little bit about this word, justified. This is a legal term that's used in a courtroom setting. In God's court, there is law, there is a judge, there is the accused, there is evidence, there is a verdict, and there is a sentence of punishment. God is the judge. And every single person that has ever been born is the accused. And there's evidence. There's plenty of evidence from an omniscient God that knows every deed and every thought. And there is a verdict. And that verdict is guilty. And there is a sentence of punishment. Eternity in hell under the just wrath of a holy God. But believers are justified. This legal term means declared righteous. Believers have a right standing before God. Believers are declared not guilty. How can this be? You're a sinner. I am a sinner. If we truly knew each other's hearts, we'd know how wicked sinners we are. And sinners go free? How can a rebel be declared righteous? There is a very key prepositional phrase that follows the word justified. Please look. By his blood. Believers are justified by the blood of Christ alone. His blood, when it was shed at the cross, satisfied the wrath of God. Christ was sinless, and he endured and absorbed the wrath of God. Believers have been justified by the wrath of God. This is not something that we deserve. We do not deserve. Believers do not deserve that grace. Believer, this is something that was not done by you. This is something that was done for you. The second part of this verse explains one of the results of this justification. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through him, through Christ. Believers, because you have been declared righteous, you will not experience the wrath of God. Your salvation will be through Christ. So let me ask the question again. Are you confident that you know where you are going when you die? If you would say that you are not confident, or that you have a confidence in something other than the justification that comes through the blood of Christ alone, then we simply ask that you would just pass the tray by when it comes to you. But I want you to know this. There is a judgment that is coming. And you will not be able to avoid the sentence of eternity in hell. But there is good news. Repent. Repent right now. Do not put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Repent right now, for you do not know how many days you have left. Believers are called to examine our hearts during this time. If you're aware that you are in unrepentant sin, please repent. Repent right now and partake with us. Believer, as you prepare your hearts, don't simply just dwell on the confidence that you know where you're going when you die. Dwell on the reason for that confidence. Dwell on Christ. The one who suffered and died at the cross so that you would be declared righteous and that you would be saved from the wrath of God. When your hearts are prepared, please go ahead and take communion on your own. Men, please serve us.